You know, I hate the phrase, hate it, when people go Friday Eve. But I got to tell you, I feel good. I'm kind of happy that it's Thursday. The week started off with just a, kind of an annoying, really. Yeah. I don't feel like going through this again. But I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about the way this week that's going to end strong. I don't feel good about today, but I feel good about the way that we're getting close.
So you don't like it, Doug Leeds, when sometimes there are coworkers that are walking around the facility, wherever that facility may be, and they say, Happy Friday
I
Eve.
I hate that.
You hate that.
Because I look at it as, do you have something to accomplish today? Why live in the now. Get something done now. When you're saying Friday Eve, you are saying, I can't wait for this to end.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's wrong. Do your job.
Yet, what's wrong with that, though?
I admit, today is one of those days where I do feel like I'm kind of ready for tomorrow.
Okay, there you go, right there. Listen,
I just don't
everyone talks about Paul Calvisi, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, Paulie comes in here. He talks all the time about Tuesday being the most productive day of the week, right? Oh, Tuesday is the most productive day of the week. I dispute that. I think it's Thursday that's the most productive day. Because I do, I believe that, you know, when you've got the week over, you're halfway down that hill for the most part. You know that Friday is coming, right? Get to work! Do your job! I think a lot of people are jacked up, fired up that tomorrow's
maybe
Friday.
Yeah.
So, you know, it puts them in a good mood, it sets the context, and they go about their business.
But they're still not quite at Friday where they're already just drifting mentally
oh, yeah.
to what they're going to be doing.
I mean, who drifts on a Friday here? Just honestly, wherever you are.
You're bad at it. Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
Wherever you are right now, tell me you don't drift on a Friday. Of course you drift on a Friday. Human nature, ladies and gentlemen, 101.
By the way, I'm not looking forward to today's show because I have...
Why? Because of how strong we started yesterday?
No.
It's just hair on fire broadcasting?
No, that's me. You were just listening for once. I have two massive recantations coming.
Oh, really?
And I hate it.
You're not going to play the full recantation.
Yeah. One of them's the full thing.
Wow.
One of them is. It's the single worst opinion I've been a talk show host for 20 years. It's the single worst opinion I've ever had in 20 years. I was proven so dead wrong last night, and it pains me. So I got to go through that. But another one is yesterday. I was that guy, and I have never been that guy.
No.
And I don't know if I'm getting old, if I'm forgetting, or if I was just a jerk.
All right.
But we had a show meeting yesterday.
Yeah.
And so that means the bald boss man calls us into this room. This farmer comes in, and he comes into the room, and they tell us everything that we're doing wrong in life, and then they say, "Now go get fired up," and we're excited that you're here, and you leave.
Man, you were quiet in that meeting.
I was quiet in that meeting.
Yes.
And so therefore,
which is very, very rare for Doug Leeds, ladies and gentlemen.
Because I don't get to
very
talk,
rare.
I don't get to talk all morning.
Oh, it was
so
rare.
So I talk in a meeting. So that's what happens.
Just please.
But yesterday, I'm listening to this, and it was like, hey, throw out ideas. And I had an idea in which I said, let's do this as we prepare for the NFL draft. I don't know if they're going to do it, so it would be rude for me to tell you what it is.
I think it was the only thing you said to me.
Yeah, it was. And everybody in the room had this look like, wow, that's fantastic.
I had no reaction.
There was one person, and it wasn't you. There was one person that did not react with the, wow, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was Maloney.
Oh.
Maloney did not think the idea was fantastic.
You apparently weren't looking at me.
Her opinion of my brilliant idea was, I told you that idea.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
I forgot.
You ripped off Maloney?
I forgot that we had talked about it.
Stop it.
And she said, what do you think about this? Now, granted, in my defense, I had taken the idea and kind of built it up a little bigger. I made it a little better, but I completely ripped off her idea and didn't even know I did it until she busted me about an hour later.
That's convenient, Doug Leeds.
And I was that guy. I forgot. I swear
I forgot.
I was sitting there is this really happening?
I deserve this.
Okay, what exactly was the idea once again? Because I was kind of comatose at that point of the meeting.
I just said, I don't want to tell anybody what it is because it might go up in our flame up in our face and they say no.
Oh, I see.
And the bosses don't let us
do it.
And then we would look dumb.
All right, but you ripped off intellectual property from
100%. But wow. But it wasn't intentional.
You totally forgot.
It was a conversation Maloney and I had, and I swear, as I was sitting there repeating the idea, I thought I had the conversation with Rudy Carpenter.
I had that conversation with Rudy.
I know.
You weren't there.
I remember her saying Rudy, and then I thought
Rudy.
And please keep in mind, the meeting was getting close to nap time. Wolf had a lot on his mind, so it started to drag. And I'm just tired.
I said three things. And I believe it was three.
I just threw it out there. Man, everybody's like, yeah, that's great. And I think, hey, I contributed. I'm glad to know that there's some positivity. And then Maloney and I were meeting about the show. Bear was in the meeting. The three of us are trying to figure out, okay, how can we get better? And then, you know, she busts me, and I go, oh, my gosh. And I just sat there frozen, realizing,
yes,
she's 100% right. That wasn't my idea.
Wow, that is amazing. When did you realize it? When did you come to that realization?
I just said, when she said that.
Like this morning?
No, in the meeting yesterday. The whole meeting with Bear.
No, wait a minute.
I just explained that.
Yeah, but why didn't you say anything then if you just realized? If you realized it in the meeting, why didn't you say anything?
Bear, Maloney, and I had a separate meeting afterwards.
Oh, there you go.
And then that's when Maloney busted me on it in the separate meeting, and I thought, oh, my gosh, that's exactly what I did.
Wow.
And I hate those people.
You and ripped off somebody else's recollection.
It's happened to us.
And made
yes, I did.
And made it your own.
And it's happened to me so many times. And then I was that guy.
Wow. You were that guy.
Rip too low.
You know, Rip Douglas.
It really hurts when you're that guy.
You know, it was convenient.
And that's only one recantation I have today.
It was so convenient for you.
I
ripped off your awesome idea and presented it as my own.
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean,
sorry about that. I forgot.
I promise it was.
When your kids tell you that,
it was
I
forgetful.
Forgot.
Yeah.
How do you feel as a parent right now? Oh, I forgot. Oh, you forgot. Boy, that's convenient, right?
I don't have that speech with the girls because I have to do the same thing with Jennifer. I forgot.
Oh, yeah. Really?
I have a rule, though. I'm not responsible for anything my wife tells me unless she looks at me after she says and says, are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Did you understand what I just asked you to do? If she doesn't say that, which snaps me back into the conversation.
That gets your attention right there?
Yes. Then I realize, oh, wait, this is serious.
It's kind of like when somebody says, sir, at the end of saying something to you, making a declaration, right?
I just assume.
Are you going to eat that, sir? What? I mean, that it always gets your attention, doesn't it?
That doesn't get my attention because then I think you're talking to my dad.
Oh, yes.
I'm all right. I'm not a
And now, it's time for your Arizona Sports Starting Five.
Here we go, Benny.
You can't go to work without knowing these five huge stories.
Fucking energy, Ben.
Here's Doug Franz and Ron.
Right? Now, Wolfley.
Good morning, Vince.
Number five.
Number five this morning. We didn't expect this, but Ron Wolfley came into work today all jacked up to talk D-backs. Is it Tim LaCostro that got you all fired up?
Why do you keep talking about me not wanting to talk about the Diamondbacks? Of course I want to talk about that. I wish we could talk about the Diamondbacks when the Cardinals were going 3-13. Yeah. It looks like we're going to see an awful lot of platooning, aren't we? Get ready. We're going to paste this thing together.
Number four.
I thought you were going to have more than that. Number four is your station play-by-play. What's going on tonight? ASU is at home against Oregon State. Late tip, that's at 8 o'clock, and that'll be on ESPN 620 AM. Suns are on the road at the Raptors. 5:30 is tip-off. You can hear that here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. James Jones was on with Burns and Gambo yesterday.
Because we have guys like DeAndre, we have guys like Devin, who offensively every night have an advantage. We have to kind of blend it together, but most definitely we have to establish and maintain our defensive identity, regardless of who we put on the floor.
Interesting he says that after the pathetic performance they had at Indiana.
Not only that, too, you know what? You're going to need your superstars to model that for everybody else.
Number three,
Kyrie Irving. There's a lot to this story.
I'll tell you one thing, and obviously this is something that it was a big deal for me because I had to call Bron.
Wow, Kyrie.
Kyrie opened up. Kyrie opened up about something that you must hear. I mean, it's probably the best piece of what we call sound in the business that will come out of the NBA this year.
Number two.
Wow, number two. jumping on them in a hurry. The hottest team in hockey leaves with a loss last night on the West Side. Yotes up 1-0, and then they do it again.
And the shot blocked by Ponick. Ponick racing after it. He's got a breakaway. In on Dell. Here's Ponick, the shot. He scores! Richard Ponick with a clear breakaway. Beats Dell upstairs. The Coyotes with their 12th shorthanded goal of the year.
Now, Calgary's passed them in the shorthanded goal department because remember how hot they were at the beginning. But they get their 12th shorthanded goal, and they crush the Sharks 6-3 with two empty netters to end it.
How about it? They've won four of their last five games and have 9 points in six games. Think about that right now.
Only four,
Coyotes rolling.
4 points out of the playoffs.
Number one.
And the number one thing you need to know about this morning, the Cardinals OC search is continuing.
As a coordinator, you'd much rather have the play calling duties. Mm-hmm. You're still going to be one of those guys that's going to be in charge of game planning and putting things in installation of the game plan, helping put the game plan together.
Are the Cardinals being picky or does nobody want the job? Where's the OC? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. So yesterday, a couple days ago, I had, according to other people that are in charge of this stuff, butchered a recording for a radio commercial.
Really?
So I got called back into production. In the production area, there's two guys. There's Michael Anthony and there's Joe. And those are the two guys that run production.
Production.
And Joe was telling me how hysterical he thought Ron Wolfley was.
Really?
That you were yesterday.
Okay.
In discussing, along with Bear, it was kind of you and Bear in cohorts, discussing Jim Bob Cooter and country music.
Yeah, right. Jimba.
And then he ended the conversation with me by asking this immortal question. Now, is Jim Bob Cooter a real person?
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Think about it. I mean,
really?
He's a casual football guy. He sure likes to know how the Cardinals are doing, but he's born and raised in New Mexico, so he doesn't have anybody football-wise.
Joseph,
around.
What are you doing?
And so Joe thought there's no way a human being is really named Jim Bob Cooter.
Well, it's James Robert. Jim Bob Cooter.
But
I love Jim Bob Cooter, by the way. I'd be happy if the Cardinals got Jim Bob Cooter as their next offensive coordinator.
He's still in the category of remaining candidates, as the remaining candidates seem to be Jim Bob Cooter, Ben McAdoo, and then, according to Tom Pelissero, throw in a new name as the former Green Bay Packer assistant head coach. All this is at ArizonaSports.com if you want to read about it. And the guy that for about, an hour or two, called plays for Green Bay.
Yeah.
I'm somewhat joking, but Mike McCarthy seems to be getting out of the play calling business for about an hour every year. And then he throws somebody under the bus, fires them, and takes over play calling again. And then that's when Aaron Rodgers seems to get upset at him. And now Mike McCarthy's not coaching at all. But Tom Pelissero was a play caller for Green Bay for a little while until Mike McCarthy gassed him. So now there's a new OC name.
Yeah, well, Tom Clements, ladies and gentlemen, right? Tom Clements is a guy that has worked with Aaron Rodgers. He's a guy that has worked with Brett Favre. Mike McCarthy, of course, he goes all the way back to the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Kansas City Chiefs, New Orleans Saints. That's where he started his career. And what I also like about this is he's worked with David Rye, who is the wide receiver coach, or was the wide receiver coach, for 5 years with the Green Bay Packers. This is really interesting to me because Clements is 65 years old, Basinonians. 65 years old. You know what? I think he's the perfect candidate. I think he's the perfect candidate for offensive coordinator because we know there's a lot of people who don't want to take the OC job under Cliff Kingsbury because they're not going to get the credit. At least we suspect that.
And I totally understand that. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, you got to check your ego at the door once you sign a contract. But if you haven't agreed to something, you've got to look out for yourself. And I understand anybody that says, wait a minute, if I come here and we win, unless Cliff Kingsbury is truly the next Sean McVay and everybody wants a piece of Sean McVay's every assistant.
Correct.
That's the only way this benefits
me. That's the only way.
So I understand anybody that says, I want to go somewhere where I'm the OC or I have, and I'm calling plays. I'm a typical offensive coordinator.
Yes. Is it possible that maybe it'd be wise to actually get an older person
for
that?
I think so.
Stop and think about that.
You're right.
We're talking about the model that already exists in the NFL where you've got this young, hotshot, offensive, brilliant genius, and then you've got this defensive coordinator that's more of a dad figure, so to speak, a mentor defensive coordinator. The Sean McVay, Wade Phillips, right? That's what we're talking about here. So to me, I think this makes an awful lot of sense because Tom Clements, ladies and gentlemen, he's not trying to get a head coaching job. He's not worried about being a head coach at this point in his career. He's not worried about getting that kind of accolade so that he can build up his resume and suddenly be a guy that people are going to interview and want to talk to for a head coaching job. He's 65 years old. I really like this. He's been an offensive coordinator throughout his career. He's been a quarterback coach. He's worked with the very best, the best of the best. Yeah, things got a little sideways on the Green Bay Packers and Tom Clements. But this is a guy that has got a ton, I mean a ton, of NFL experience. And no, I don't want Tom Clements telling Cliff Kingsbury what to do. That's not going to be the case. It is not. But man, working together and being able to bounce something off a guy that has been in the NFL for a long time and played and worked with some of the best, that to me matters. That really does. And you know what, Doug Lees, too? I saw this story come out on ArizonaSports.com. I saw it come out on our website here, our station website, and I just said, of course, why did I think of that? Why haven't we been talking about finding more of a mentor type guy to bring in here for Cliff Kingsbury? You know, John DeFilippo, right? Jim Bob Cooter. We've been talking about these guys. Why not somebody like Tom Clements? More of a mentor, just knowing you. Listen, you brought Cliff Kingsbury in here into the organization for the Arizona Cardinals. You brought him in because he's a brilliant genius offensively. You just got to tailor the brilliance to what the paradigm is in the National Football League, the reality of how you play football in the National Football League. And that's what Tom Clements can help him do, in my opinion. Much better chance of getting that. And I love the fact, hey, this is probably it for Tom Clements. This is probably it. His last stop, maybe, in the National Football League. I don't know. Maybe he's going to turn Tom Moore, right? But I love the premise.
I don't like to talk about something like this, but I think you're right on.
Are you going to recant again?
No, I'm not going to recant because,
man, this is,
since it took you 8 minutes to get to it, then I'm not going to like give you too much credit. But it was, you're right. Here's Mark Schlereth yesterday on Bickley and Murata.
I mean, let's face it. You have success as an offense. If you're a young coordinator, you're with a young coach. I mean, that's what people covet right now. So, you know, from an attractiveness standpoint, I think that part's attractive. I think if you looked at the roster right now, that might make you take a step back a little bit and go, man, I hope I get another opportunity instead of just this one opportunity. But there's only 32 offensive coordinators in the National Football League. So if you get that opportunity, you have nowhere else to go. Obviously, you're going to take it.
When I was listening to him yesterday, talked about the attractiveness of the job. It's exactly what I was thinking. How are you going to get anybody that's going to want this job? You can't really grow from this job. And then it was fresh off of the news that John DeFilippo has taken the Jaguars situation. Perfect opportunity for him because whoever they get at quarterback, if they succeed, he's going to get 100% mm-hmm. of the credit. And you have more of a defensive head coach. And you're supposed to have a great defense in Jacksonville if they figure that out, going from how great it was in 2017 and how below average it was in 2018. Mm-hmm. You got all the pieces there to get the attention that you didn't get in Minnesota and you need to resurrect. But I was looking at it from a Cardinals point of view, kind of upset too. See, you just lost another one here. You know, that was my attitude until I admit you said that, because you do want a guy above Cliff Kingsbury that's going to be able to say, okay, calm down, kid. I've seen the same thing 15 years ago. This is what we did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just little mm-hmm. things like that.
Point of reference.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Tom Clements would... He'd provide context immediately to Cliff Kingsbury.
And I admit it's a boring hire. I'll be the first one to say, boring hire. I mean, nobody's going to get excited and go, yeah, Cardinals, Tom Clements, yeah.
But hey, we were talking about this thing yesterday.
It's a good hire. You're right.
I told you, at that time, ladies and gentlemen, I said, I really don't care. What a stupid thing to say, but it was the truth. Because I knew, okay, the run game coordinator is going to be Sean Coogler, and he's going to work with James Saxon. They're going to actually come up with a running game, and that's how they're going to tailor it. And then you're going to have the concepts of Cliff Kingsbury. He's going to be your offensive coordinator, of course. So I really didn't care. Whoa, stupid. Why not find somebody like Tom Clements? That would be,
yep.
I think that would knock it out of the park.
I don't know if you had a chance to hear this yesterday, Wolf, but Bickley and Murata, or excuse me, Burns and Gambo had James Jones on. And
yeah.
When the interim GM says this about the main dude.
His growth as a leader will require him to adjust.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Good morning.
That's good.
That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Maloney, the producer of the Doug and Wolf Show, has a little bit of spunk today. Since I guess, if you didn't hear the 6 o'clock part, beautiful part of the program, since I admitted to running her over with a Mack truck totally unintentionally. I didn't see her in the road. What my fault?
Ripped off her intellectual property
totally
and
did.
Passed it off as your own.
I totally
That's
did.
Brilliant, Doug Lease. It's been going on since we all started walking out of caves.
But the people that do it on purpose deserve, you know, the real beatdown. I just was stupid. I just forgot. I remember talking to somebody about it. I thought
yes.
It was my idea. Never mind, it wasn't.
Just think about that, man. Somebody walked out, right? There's some dude walked out of a cave and looked down and there was a big stick there. And he grabbed that thing and picked it up and said, you know what? This thing is really, really cool. Don't make me tell my Vetter James story, as a matter of fact. Okay? We have no time for that, ladies and gentlemen. Where are we going at this beautiful part of the program?
James Jones.
His growth as a leader will require him to adjust. And last night, I don't think he made that adjustment defensively. I think offensively, he pressed and tried to kind of reestablish himself, and Indiana did a great job of trying to take him away. But that's the next step for Book, is to find a way to adjust and lead this team to victory.
That's James Jones, interim general manager, who was on Burns and Gambo when he says last night. Remember, that conversation was yesterday afternoon. So he's referring to then Tuesday night, the game on the road in Indiana, in which they took on the Pacers and just got absolutely shellacked. And it was a weird situation because it came off of the wonderful performance against Denver. And we had warned you that this team had a nice 4-game winning streak, but those 3 games after the first win were the only 3 times all year that they've ever won a game after they won a game.
Yeah.
Okay. They were 0-7 and now 0-8 whenever they win in the next night, the next game, other than that 4-game winning streak. So there was a lot on the table against Indiana, and plus the Pacers are the 3rd best team in the Eastern Conference. So you have all of those things, but here was the catch. That win against Denver, no D Book. That loss against Indiana, Devin Booker comes back. And you have to kind of wonder, okay, we know they're a better team with Devin Booker on the floor,
yes,
talent-wise. Why isn't it gelling?
We're a different team without him. You know, without Booker, it's a team that's chasing. We're out in passing lanes, and we're kind of wild. You know, with Book and with DeAndre, those are more of our stable guys. And so with them, we just have to be disciplined. We have to execute our rotations. It's a different type of team. I think last night coming back, he was pressing offensively, and Indiana did a great job of trying to frustrate him. And I think you saw that for the rest of our guys as a whole. I think our team was frustrated last night with the way Indiana guarded us.
Boy, this is an awesome topic right here. It really is, because this is exactly what needs to happen. At some point in time, Devin Booker needs to inspire his teammates as opposed to relaxing his teammates. Because I think that's what's going on. You've been talking about this for 2 weeks now. Just the fact that they seem to go out there, and when Devin Booker's out there, they're just kind of standing around waiting for Book to go out there and score the basketball for the most part, right? And it just kind of relaxes them as opposed to how focused they are when he's not in the lineup. The intensity is there. The desperation is there. The concentration is there, right? We've got one chance to stay in this game, and it's on the defensive end of the floor. That's what they need to adopt as the way they do things. Part of their DNA on this team, part of the organization, Planet Purple, has got to be adopted by the Suns and by the players inside that locker room. They have to say, you know what, Planet Purple isn't a bruise. We're going to go out there and we're going to play some gritty, tough defense and hopefully turn you over and get some live turnovers and score off the break on that. Transition defense. We're going to play some tough transition defense, right? All these things. Offensive. Work hard on the offensive glass. We're going to be active with our hands. We're going to come up with steals and blocks. We're going to generate it, just like we saw against the Nuggets. 20, a combined 20 steals and blocks against the Nuggets. They had 11 steals and 9 blocks.
If you didn't hear the Burnson Gambo conversation yesterday with James Jones, really good. The exclusive audio is at arizonasports.com. And to your point, he said,
we have to. You know, when you're a younger team, when you're a team that's less skilled, less seasoned than your opponents, you have to win on the edges. And so we need to be a very solid, active defensive team to give ourselves a chance. It's a piece of the puzzle. It won't be our true identity because we have guys like DeAndre. We have guys like Devin who offensively every night have an advantage. We have to kind of blend it together, but most definitely.
I like this topic a lot. I hope you do as a listener. I like this topic a lot because there's one major focus here no matter what.
It's not review?
I can give this team a lot of room with what we're talking about right now, chemistry wise, because it is how do we merge the inconsistencies of both health of Devin Booker and energy of DeAndre Ayton with the other guys who are very comfortable in trying to take over a game without D-Book, but do a lot of standing with D-Book. And then the comment of James Jones is really, really strong.
His growth as a leader will require him to adjust.
And that is really strong because it's not just looking at the guys for standing, it's looking at Devin Booker, of what are you doing as the leader of the team when everybody's standing, and how do you build that together? But none of this matters when you have something like 10 first quarter turnovers or whatever it was that was obnoxious against Indiana. None of it matters when there is no energy. Then all this is out the window. Mm-hmm. You have a bunch of either immature or unprofessional people. The question is which. Right now, we don't know. We're all hoping it's immature.
I think it's immature.
We're hoping it's immature, but they have to wake up with their own energy. But I love that James Jones is not excusing Devin Booker and telling Devin Booker, you're great. Everybody start doing the Devin thing here.
You do you, Devin.
Yeah, no, he's saying, listen, you've got to figure this out. And the real goal here is to get these guys on offense for them to all realize none of you are good enough for an MPP. None of you are good enough to have a no-pass possession. None of you create a shot on your own that's smart enough of a shot to never pass the ball offensively.
Josh Jackson.
Thank you. So move the ball, and then with about 8 seconds left on the shot clock, if you don't have anything, then give it to Booker and get out of the way. But other than that, move the ball, play as a group, and then defensively. I love how he said that. Without D-Book, we're a little wild.
Yeah.
Embrace that.
Yes.
That's how you can do things.
Defensive identity, though. This is something, a piece to the puzzle, as James Jones said. This is something they've got to develop. And if you're going to develop this thing, it's got to be modeled by Devin Booker. Never forget that. It has to be. He's your best player. He doesn't need to be the best defender, but he needs to set the expectation. He needs to set that expectation and give effort on the defensive side of the floor.
You want to see it? Suns Toronto, it's on tonight, 5:30. You can catch it right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, in which Al and Tim will have the play-by-play call. Kawhi Leonard has not played both games of a back-to-back yet this year. And he played last night in Boston.
King of the North.
So it'll be interesting to see if he does play against the Suns. It'll be the first time this year that he's done it. Have you subscribed to the Doug and Wolf podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android. You'll never miss any of the show. It's the Doug and Wolf podcast, and it's brought to you this week by Kinetico. All right. Who's going to go on the record and declare you think it's going to happen? Are the Chiefs going to go to the first Super Bowl in their history since Super Bowl IV? Or is it just the same old Patriots? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The high is supposed to be 26 degrees. The high temperature, 26 degrees Sunday in Kansas City.
You know, weather's a factor anytime you play in January, you know, in these colder climates in, you know, Kansas City. Obviously a cold climate, they're used to it. And we've been practicing it for the last 2 months. It hasn't been extreme cold, but it's been cold enough to know, you know, what you got to wear and, you know, how you got to deal with it the best way you can.
I got to tell you.
What the PSI of the balls will be.
Yeah, who knows what the ideal gas law type of things are going to actually have a dramatic effect on this. But one thing I have really struggled to understand.
I've handled dozens of balls over the past week.
Is why this is such a major topic when it's these two teams. Somehow the Dolphins, the Texans, they make it to the AFC Championship game. Man, I get it. The weather's a huge deal. It's Boston.
Yeah.
The team from New England is playing in a cold weather road game. Why are so many people talking about this?
Love to plan a championship game. Schedule whatever you want.
This is the best. Did you see this yesterday, Basinonians? He was asked about the cold. Yeah. That's what he was asked. Bill Belichick was
a championship game. Schedule whatever you want.
Think about that. That was his answer. Is that not classic?
Yes, it is.
Bill Belichick.
Schedule it wherever you want.
Coach, it's going to be freezing cold in there. What do you think about that?
Oh, that's great.
That is classic. But you know what? Honestly, he does not want a single distraction on this.
You're right. You're right.
I know this. This is Bill Belichick through and through. This is who he was all the way back in 92 and 93, Basinonians. This is exactly who he was when he was the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. He will sit there and tell you, we need to eliminate all distractions from this game. The same thing he espouses today, he espoused then. It just was a different time in a different era, and he didn't have Tom Brady as his quarterback. Interesting. Now,
in the other game, that's the late game, if you're wondering. That's CBS 5 at 4:40, so that's the late game. 1:05, Rams at Saints is the early game on Sunday. And there's a funny little battle going on here, and I cannot stand it when somebody tries to talk trash, raise the bar, and then blame the media for trying to make something out of what's going on. Not our fault that you tried to make something out of what's going on. But here's your story. Rams lose to the New Orleans Saints regular season. And then you have an amazing comment after the game from Sean Payton, the head coach, in which he talks about how they really liked the matchup that they had with Marcus Peters. And he says, we saw that he was going to travel with Michael Thomas, so therefore that was fine by us. We liked that matchup.
Yeah.
That's what he said after the regular season game. So Marcus Peters then said, tell Sean Payton to keep talking that. Ooh.
Yeah, I remember.
We're going to see him soon. You feel me? Because I like what he was saying on the sidelines. So tell him to keep talking that.
Oh.
We're going to have a nice little bowl of gumbo together.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a nice little bowl of gumbo together.
Gumbo.
Well, the story's dead.
Well, he's got that.
This week, Marcus Peters tweets out. Oh, this week he has a funny tweet and tweets out gumbo week. Okay. Now, if you're going to tweet out gumbo week, then I got to tell you, you need to own it. You need to own it. He deletes the tweet and then blames the media.
With the gumbo thing, I mean, Sean McVay just hollered in about soup, but Marcus, does it make it more fun to kind of have, you know, banter like that back and forth?
Hey, man, my coach is a fiery coach. I'm a fiery player. We have fun with these things internally. We're going to try to lead y'all to be the media, so y'all do what y'all going to do with it. Like I say, man, I got the utmost respect for the Saints and their head coach and the organization, you know.
Come on. The media's going to do all they're going to do with it.
I see y'all trying to make it to be something that is not, man.
All respect to Sean Payton
and what he does. Like I say, before during the game, you know, things happen. But I just love the fact that he's a competitor, you know.
Get real.
Just once again, you never base it on needs. My young Kronk brothers, just understand you never want to provide aid, comfort, or shelter to your opponent. And whenever you start talking about it, that's exactly what you're doing. Whenever you start making declarations as to how things are going to go or start sticking the metaphorical finger in the eye, they're going to put that on the locker room wall. You better believe they're going to do it. They're going to get up there, they're going to put it on a slide, and they're going to have a PowerPoint presentation. And they're going to say, look at what these guys are saying. They're going to do that. Any coach is going to do that. He's going to make you aware of what these guys are saying. What's interesting to me about this, the doubts that the Rams might have, the doubts because of how they played down the stretch more in December. Mm-hmm. And I would say in particular, Jared Goff. Now, again, it's not that they didn't win a playoff game. Of course they did. There's no denying that. But to me, the doubt must be there. The doubts. Now, listen to what William Shakespeare said, ladies and gentlemen.
We don't have sound on that.
He said, our doubts are traitors and make us lose the good we oft might win.
I don't have that sound.
Doubt is going to be whether or not the Rams think they can beat the Saints.
Sean McVay says, Wolf, Goff will not be overwhelmed.
You know, I don't think any moment's too big for him. I think he's just going to go about his normal weekly rhythm this week. Certainly, we don't shy away from, you know, what is at stake in terms of what we can accomplish, but we also know what a great challenge it is. But I just think that, you know, like you've heard us say over and over, he really doesn't allow himself to get too high, too low. I don't ever really feel like any moment's too big for him.
But he didn't use any verbs that end in TH. So I'm sorry. The WWE is taking over Phoenix January 26th through the 29th. Royal Rumble, SmackDown, Monday Night Raw, NXT TakeOver, all coming to Chase Field and Talking Stick Resort Arena. Visit the rewards page at arizonasports.com for complete details on your chance to win tickets. How about this newer thing that's brewing? Antonio Brown, the subject of a Bruce Arians conversation on the Adam Schefter podcast, in which he said, there's too much diva right now.
Was that the Antonio that you knew and drafted back in 2011 or whatever year it was?
He was hardest working. He and Emmanuel Sanders, boy, they went after it because Mike Thomas always telling two dogs, one bone. At that time, we had Mike Wallace, Hines Ward, and we had a pretty good room for one of them to get on the field. And by the end of the season, they were both winning for us to go to the Super Bowl.
So at Neep Gaming tweets Antonio Brown with a link to the sound and then says, this isn't the Antonio that was drafted in 2010. AB continues to bury himself and says, he didn't draft me. He drafted at E. Saunders 10, meaning Emmanuel Sanders. Mm-hmm. Same guy who missed rehab to go on networks to talk about me on a situation that he has zero clue. Arians now wears Kangoo hats and glasses. But I'm a diva? Done seen it all. Emmanuel Sanders didn't like that very much.
So Antonio? Oh, I see. Yes.
Yeah, Emmanuel Sanders didn't like it. So right. Emmanuel Sanders tweets out, you know well that I didn't travel to L.A. to talk about you, fam. You tripping, yo. Do I sound like him?
No.
I went to be an analyst in which you acting foolish was the topic, and I gave my analytical opinion.
He's 100% wrong to even do that because right. In turning my back on my brothers, I couldn't even come to that game and be on the sideline with a fur coat on and looking at my brothers and knowing that the playoff contentions are still on the line. I just couldn't do that. I care too much about the organization I play for because I have respect for them, and I have respect for my teammates and my coaches as well. And we've all grinded that offseason to get to this one moment, and you just can't do that.
I know you're sitting there if you're a Cardinals fan thinking, what does this matter? What does this matter to the Cardinals? But I think what matters is, you know how long you have to go for Antonio Brown to return as a Steeler right now? I mean, when you look at the salary cap ramifications, it's easy to say, yeah, he's going to be a Steeler. But when you hear the comments of Emmanuel Sanders, when you hear the continual reaction to everything that Antonio Brown is turning, like the world's out to get him and not even looking in a mirror to admit he's the problem, in a non-salary cap way, he's got to go. And then as a Cardinal fan, you have to ask the question, well, where?
Yeah, exactly right.
Is it here? Is it San Francisco?
Would you like Antonio Brown in the lineup? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, emphatically. That's an emphatic yes. Would you want him in the locker room, ladies and gentlemen? No.
Can you have your special Antonio Brown locker room?
This is what I was talking about yesterday right here. Bruce Arians threw him a lifeline. Remember we were talking about it. Bruce Arians threw him a lifeline. Was he going to grab it? Guess what? He didn't.
Coming up next, Wolf has, give him the credit for this, this is interesting, an amazing theory. When you look at what's going on with the Cardinals coaches, it might tell you something huge that's going to happen when the phrase new league year is used.
Mm.
Free agency comes soon. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.